Legless, they can't. Legends bets in the cut, got the game on lock. Flipping dimes, calling shots, every move non-stop. 615, bully slayer, player odds like dice. In the trap house, betting lines, making racks feel nice. Pushing the line, we don't fold, don't shy. Cashing tickets, counting green to the sky. On the podcast, we ball, roll the spread. Money talk, never walk, bets ahead. Bully slayer, stacking chips like you bricks. Legends calling plays, makes the scheme so slick. Numbers on the board, all these digits don't lie. In this trap house sports, best we fly. Pushing the line, we don't fall, don't shy. Cashing tickets, counting green to the sky. On the podcast, we ball, roll the spread. Money talk, never walk, bets ahead. Got your bankroll rising like the early morning sun. From parlays to straight plays, we stun. Twisted stats, breaking news, all for the gain. In this world of odds, we reign. Lines moving swift like the rate in the night. Heavy hitters in this game got the insight. Magic's with the tip, 615 with the hit. Podcast worldwide, see us never miss. Hey, podcast.
It's Sunday. Welcome back. Week 2 NFL. Let's go. What's up, Mike?
Game time, baby. Game time. Speaking of game time, I got my Knickers.
Speaking of game time, let's backtrack a little bit, man. I'm upset that due to unforeseen circumstances in my schedule, we had to skip the college football show because I was really looking forward to that. So I went ahead and sent out my bets to everybody since we didn't get to go over it on the show. Made it public for everybody. And if you played any of those bets, your pocket's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, to anybody who wants to thank me or send me any donations for telling them that Vanderbilt was going to beat South Carolina, I'll gladly take them.
I ain't even going to lie. I didn't have Vanderbilt beating them, but I had Vanderbilt covering at +5.5. And Vanderbilt just went in. I mean, Sellers went down in the game, but Vanderbilt went in there and played well.
Very well. I don't think people understand this. This ain't our Vanderbilt that we grew up with. This is different Vanderbilt right here. Finally,
this is SEC football Vanderbilt.
Yeah, yeah. It was two classic games yesterday too, man. I didn't get to watch the ending of Notre Dame Texas A&M. But I did see Georgia, Tennessee. Notre Dame, Texas A&M was a hell of a game. The Clemson, Georgia Tech game. It's about time for us to put some respect on Georgia Tech. Now, they 7-1 against ranked ACC opponents.
I've been telling people all year, and all three shows, we have covered Georgia Tech, and I've been telling people that Brent Key has them boys ready. People don't believe it. I guess seeing is believing. So,
also, I need to retract my Notre Dame Clemson championship prediction because that's not gonna happen.
They have to win out to even be considered, and they got to win out convincingly.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I text you this yesterday. The Texas Longhorn fans was booing Arch Manning off the field yesterday. He had an awful game yesterday. So,
what's up, Javon? Javon just in the chat.
What up, Young Junk, as I call him. It ain't looking good for Arch Manning at all. Man,
you and I both told everybody before the season. You said temper your expectations. I said let the kid be a kid.
That's it. And it just may be. Just because he has that last name does not mean that he gonna be that last name.
I mean, you know whose son he is. He ain't Eli Payton, so.
Yeah, he the one that didn't make it.
Yeah, might wait for Marshall to come through.
Yep. So, before we get started, got some breaking news. Quinshon Judkins is active, and he will be on a 12-15 snap count today.
Juwan Jennings is confirmed active.
Yep.
That just came through. I kind of like this 10:30 show because we get some breaking news during it.
Yeah. But man, I'm eager to see before we get started. I'm eager to see these AP top 25. I want to see it today. I want to see if Vanderbilt is going to be ranked. I want to see how much they value Miami beating South Florida yesterday. I want to see how they feel about Texas. The Georgia-Tennessee game, want to see how they felt about that. It's interesting. I still wish they would let them play four games before they do any kind of rankings, but we not there yet. I also want to see where they put Clemson and where they put Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech should be ranked.
Man, Clemson might mess around and fall to the bottom or out.
Yeah. That's where they should be. I say they should be somewhere around 20. But, yeah, so we're going into NFL week two today. Fantasy advice, just overall advice. If you're putting in any bets today, if you play fantasy football, we may give you some little ins and outs of the game, give you our thoughts, and we're going to get up out of here so we can put, if we're going to put any more bets in, I'm sure I will. But it's a habit for me. I just be betting shit just to be betting. But anyway, man, the first game, we got Jacksonville versus Cincinnati. We got Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has not thrown for under 300 yards versus Jacksonville, and the Bengals have won three straight games against the Jags. Came out today, Travis Hunter will take more defensive snaps today, of course, because of T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And little fun fact, Zach Taylor has never won a week two game as long as he's been a head coach in the NFL.
Did not know that. I mean, you got Jacksonville surprised a few people last week. The ground game is strong. They're going to rely on Travis Etienne. They traded Tank Bigsby, which was a surprise to me. I figured they'd keep a two-headed monster, but I guess they feel good about their rookie. Defense playmakers, they got Foy Olokun. He had 10 tackles, an interception, and a forced fumble.
Foyer Oluokun. Yep. He'll tackle on the scene, too.
Yeah, 10 tackles, an interception, and a forced fumble last week. Mm-hmm. They do have young upside with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas. So that shows some promise. The risk here is their coaching staff. They still learning their coaching staff, and they had a bunch of penalties and inconsistency last week. Of course, with the Bengals, you got Burrow, Chase, T. Higgins. They're gonna stretch the field. They're gonna stretch the secondary. That's why Travis Hunter is gonna be getting more snaps on defense. It's a home opener with familiarity. I am taking the Bengals -3.5.
Yeah, I am as well. I expect pretty much the same. I don't think Joe Burrow has another 2-catch, 20-some-yard day. I don't see that personally. He may route Travis Hunter up a few times. That'll be an interesting matchup because I'm going to assume that they will put Travis Hunter on Chase because I don't know if he's big enough to go to check T. Higgins. But I think Joe Burrow and his offense has a good day. We also can't forget about Noah Fant, and we also can't forget about Chase Brown as well. So,
if you feel like the Jaguars are going to come out and score this game, you might play the over because it's 48.5 points.
Yeah, this and surprisingly the Packers Commanders game, which we hadn't said much about, those had the two biggest over unders this week at both 48.5. On the Jaguars side, Travis Etienne. He had 100 and almost 150 yards last week. Now, granted, one of the runs, he had a 71-yard run. So, factor that in how you want. I don't think Brian Thomas plays nowhere near as bad as he did last week. I think week two is like a reset for week one. So, I can see the Bengals winning it. I'm going to say 34-24. Bingo.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of teams had the first week jitters last week, so hopefully they shake that off, and we get a little more offense this week.
Yeah, yep. So the next game we got both 0-1 teams. We got the Giants and the Cowboys. Dak Prescott has won 13 straight games against the Giants, and Brian Daboll has lost 6 straight games against the Dallas Cowboys. This game is in Dallas. I think you're going to see a motivated CeeDee Lamb today after those drops last week, because I'm sure they feel like, and I do too, if he catches those passes, they beat Philadelphia last week. My one question mark is Javonte Williams. I know everybody's high on him because he had those 2 rushing touchdowns last week. I would say, once again, temper your expectations. The only reason he got those touchdowns is because it was missed touchdown passes or penalties, and they got the ball on the 1, and he just ran it in. I expect George Pickens to have a better game today as well. I think the Cowboys win this one at least by 10 points. The one thing to watch this Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart thing they got going on. I think the Giants, the fans at least, they ready for that switch.
Yeah, Russell is a good guy. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He does everything right in the public eye. But when it comes to football, you don't get much emotion from him. I think the fans don't sit well with that, because New York, they are energy city. They like excitement, and I think they're looking forward to the future right now, and they know that Russell Wilson's not going to be that long. I mean, yeah. Their pass protection last week was rough, so everything wasn't Russell's fault. You got the potential for Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb to have a great game with the weakened Giants defense, and then, of course, throw George Pickens in there, Jake Ferguson. Now, I don't know how I would take this game. I'd probably lean towards the over. I'm not going to mess with the spread much, but if I mess with the spread, I'd even probably go Giants plus 5.5, just for the simple fact that Russell Wilson is possibly going to have a bounce-back game.
I hope he does, and this is a good game to have a bounce-back, because they got Deron Bland. I believe he's out today. And they still got Trayvon Diggs, who's playing, but he's still banged up. If he can get any protection. And also, you had the off the field with Brian Daboll and Malik Nabers doing the back and forth. They say they fine. They say everything is good. So it's probably a non-issue, but you got to get your best player the ball. Also, you got to figure out a way. I know they got Kenny Clark from Green Bay, but you got to figure out how to get this run game going. Tyrone Tracy looked pretty good last season. He didn't do too much last week. And Scatterbo, both of them.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm probably not – actually, I know I'm not betting on this game, because, I mean, the narrative, it could be any way. If Dallas controls the line of scrimmage, run strong and get an early lead, game could stay slow.
Mm-hmm. It's not like one of the most.
Javonte Williams, he's fumble prone.
Yep. And he has one of the lowest yards per carries in a running back's first 4 or 5 years. So the Giants got a pretty good D line, but we'll see. I mean, they did just give Tyler Smith. He became the highest paid. Is it? He's a guard or a center? He's one of them.
Tyron?
Yeah,
for the Cowboys. He's a tackle.
They just made him the highest paid. So, obviously, I mean, he is a 2-time Pro Bowler. This is his 3rd year. They gave him the money, which is
so. Bland just got a new contract. Smith just got a new contract. That tells me that you were just totally disrespecting Michael Parsons, and you could have gave him the money he needed.
That's all.
It wouldn't even have been the $47 million. He probably would have took about 42, 43.
Yep. And I seen something funny. They said, you know, a lot of us, we owe Jerry Jones an apology, because we always said he's no longer capable of building a championship contending team. He just built one in Green Bay, because they look like one now. So,
man, woo.
They look a little different.
They look good last week.
But game, the next game we got is the Ben Johnson Bowl. We got the Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions. Good news for the Bears. They get their top corner, one of their top defensive players, probably their top defensive player, and Jalen Johnson. He's back this week. That'll be good going up against this offense. A lot of people are interested to see this game because they want to see how Caleb Williams bounces back, and they also want to see how Detroit bounces back from getting their ass kicked by aforementioned Green Bay Packers. So I feel like this has the potential to be a mid-scoring game. I don't want to say it's going to be too high, but I can see both teams getting in the 20s. I think it's a lot of opportunities in this game. It's indoors. It's in Detroit. You got the fast track. I like Jameson Williams to catch a long one in this game.
So on this, I love that pick right there. You might take his longest reception. I think Detroit should win, but Chicago could cover if Taylor Decker is out. He was doubtful this morning. They hadn't confirmed whether he's in or out. The Lions' protection is shaky, and it showed last week. But at home, Lions have enough to cover if Taylor Decker is there and he can minimize that that pass rush of Chicago. Both defenses showed weaknesses in week one. Chicago's offense under with Caleb Williams has big play potential. He's starting to see the field a little bit better. They just need the opportunities. I would still lean the Lions to cover -6.5.
Yeah, especially being at home with that crowd. Yeah, I would as well. I also want to see how Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery look in this game. They looked a little not good last week, should I say.
Sonic and Oakland, it's all about the offensive and defensive coordinators. They trying to learn what's going to work best for them because they wasn't the head of the ship last year, and they are now.
Yeah, so I will take Detroit in that game as well. So our next game, we got the New England Patriots versus the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins have looked just ass. So they've lost their last four. They had a players-only meeting, which is interesting. Now, the thing about a players-only meeting, you don't have a players-only meeting if things are going well. You have a players-only meeting when things are not going well in the locker room. We can discuss X's and O's without just having a players-only meeting. This is a, hey, what the hell we doing? Do y'all want to win type meeting. Tyreek Hill, he's had his frustrations. He said he's focused. Tua has been more vocal in the media. You can just tell by their attitudes. A reporter asked Tyreek Hill a question about not having a 30-yard reception, and he responded by saying, man, you're trying to piss me off. And then you got Tua going in front of the media, and his demeanor has changed. It just looks like it's all falling apart for Miami. I don't know how long Mike McDaniel has to be there. On the other side of the ball, you got the Patriots and their defensive coordinator, Terrell Williams. He won't be coaching today. He has a medical issue. So they have an interim defensive coordinator in Zach Kerr today. And the Pats are also on a 5-game losing streak when they play at Hard Rock Stadium. Be interesting to see the disparity of carries between Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. I do want to see that. And I just want to see if this Dolphins team can have any kind of resemblance of the Dolphins team they were 2 years ago. Is it just completely gone?
So in the news this week, there have been a lot of people calling to see if the Dolphins are willing to trade Tyreek Hill. And they have shown no interest in trading him and letting him go anywhere else. They want to keep him and make it work out.
Can I ask you a question before you go further?
Go ahead.
I got a theory. I want to pick your brain for a second. If they were to trade Tyreek Hill, where would you want him to go? I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to say it now.
I haven't thought that far ahead, but if I had to think right now and just throw a name out there, I would say Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, I liked it. My team was the Houston Texans. I'll explain why later.
You know, I can see that.
Nico needs some help.
He does.
We'll leave it there.
He does.
I'll wait till we get on that game.
We'll talk about that when we get there. All right. I mean, right now you got a team in the Patriots that want to make a statement. They got that underdog energy right now, which will help focus. Mm-hmm. Dolphins got injuries and poor execution last week. They look very, very beatable. The Patriots are the underdog I'm taking this week. Straight up. No spread. I'm taking the Patriots to beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's my thing. I'm with you, but I think more than anything, the Dolphins are beating the Dolphins. They just don't have no chemistry. I don't think they trust one another. I don't think the camaraderie, the brotherhood they have is there. I've had this conversation before. If Miami runs a timing offense, and if you've seen what Xavier Howard said last week, he's now with the Colts, former Dolphin. If you take Tua off his first read, the whole offense is completely ruined. And that's how people play Miami now. And it's causing all kind of confusion. You got Tyreek Hill upset. You got Jalen Waddle not getting involved in the game. A-Chan, as dynamic as he is, if he don't make that hell of a play, they don't need it. It wasn't like Tua threw a good pass. A-Chan made a hell of a play to get that touchdown last week. It's got to get better, but I don't know if it get better today.
Another note on this on the Patriots, they trade away wide receiver, second-year wide receiver Jalen Polk yesterday
to the Saints. Yep, to the Saints. That's what we're going to talk about next. So we got the 49ers versus the Saints. The 49ers, whoever they training staff is, they just need to be fired at this point. This is crazy. So they have no Brock Purdy today, no Kittle today, no Ayuk today. Jennings is questionable, but he is active, as T said earlier, as well as Trent Williams. He's going to give it a go. Mac Jones is starting today. They probably going to run Christian McCaffrey into the ground today. They probably going to throw the ball to Ricky Pearsall as much as they can today. If I had to pick an upset, I don't know if the Saints will beat a money line, but the Saints didn't look bad last week. I will say that. Olave, he took another hard hit, but he didn't get a concussion, thank God. They still got Kamara. They still got Juwan Johnson. They still got Rashid Shaheed. It's in New Orleans. That crowd can be kind of crazy sometimes. I think the Saints got a chance, man. I think the Saints got a chance.
You said the Saints didn't look bad last week, which they lost to the Cardinals 2013. Their issues was penalties and trouble finishing.
Yep.
I mean, they've had one game to get a game setting with this team. Kellen Moore is a new head coach. So hopefully he's had a chance to make some adjustments this week and come back. You've mentioned every injury that I was going to mention. I don't see this being a high scoring game. Mac Jones last year when he played for Jacksonville, he got the number one receiver, Brian Thomas, involved more than Trevor Lawrence did. So whoever your number one is this week, he is probably going to get some targets. You can take that how you want to, play the prop if you want to, but I'm staying away from it. I'm staying away from money line and spread on this one. I'm staying away from the over. The only bet I am playing on this game is Juwan Johnson, longest reception, over 15 and a half yards.
You know, that's a hell of a point that you just said. We didn't know how good Brian Thomas was until they put Mac Jones in.
Yep.
That was a hell of a point. Next game, we got the Bills. Possibly just had the game of the year so far with the Ravens.
That was a game.
That was a hell of a game. a hell of a game. So they playing against the Jets. And speaking of that game, that was the first time the Bills has come from a 14-plus point fourth quarter comeback since 1967. I don't think 95% of this viewing audience was even born then. My mama was 1 year old in 1967. But anyway, one of the things about this game has got a lot of people taking the under. The referee crew for this week is Cleet Blakeman. Him and his crew threw the most flags last season, and they called the most penalties. This is a good game if you want to take Justin Fields. I think he'll be running for his life, although Buffalo, they will not have defensive tackle Ed Oliver today. He's out. I do like Justin Fields and his running rushing yards today. I would be okay if you took Josh Allen's rushing yards today. play Gary Wilson. I think they're going to put Sauce Gardner on Keon Coleman. I think Keon Coleman may separate himself from this everyone eats offense. I think he may become the wide receiver one now. I got that much faith in Keon Coleman that I think he's going to separate himself from the rest. And I still think the Bills are going to win. I think the Jets are going to play tough. I think Justin Fields will continue to play well. But we'll see how this will play out. But I got the Bills in this one.
All right. So this matchup comes down to firepower. Buffalo can stack points up in a hurry, as we saw last week against one of the top teams in the NFL. While the Jets are still they're figuring out their identity, Fields, and what they got going on under center. Josh Allen looks locked in. He had nearly 400 yards, two touchdowns in week one. The Bills' passing game is rolling, which we pretty much expected. The Jets' offense, they look like the run. You might look at Breece Hall on his rushing yards this week, because they're gonna have to run the ball to get the offense going. This is one of the picks that I sent out early in the week. I think the Bills cover -6.5. I think it's actually moved to -7.5 now, I believe.
Yeah, I think they had one of the highest spreads this week. I know the Ravens had the biggest one.
Oh, shit. I don't know what's going on, but it's actually moved to Buffalo -5.5. So you can get a better number now.
Maybe somebody's injured or something.
Yeah, it started out -6.5, and I think Monday or Tuesday it went to -7.5, and now it's back to 5.5.
Is there some weather going on or something?
Weather looked good. I just looked at that. You might also play as a side bet, Bills second half -3.5. Because if you look at last week's game, they were down, but they put up a lot of points late.
Yep. Yeah, they did. Next game, we got the Super Bowl 40 rematch, and we got the DK Metcalf Bowl. We got the Seattle Seahawks versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. DK Metcalf could possibly have a hell of a game, as well as Jackson Smith and Jigba. The reason why is because both cornerback ones for each team is out today. Devin Witherspoon is out, and Joey Porter Jr. is out as well. Seahawks have rookie Abe Lucas going up against T.J. Watt. Good luck. Thoughts and prayers to you today for that matchup. And also, one thing that I put in my notes for this, watch for the usage of Kenneth Walker versus Zach Charbonnet. I'm starting to think Seattle is leaning more towards Zach Charbonnet than they are Kenneth Walker.
You say you think that DK is going to have a good game?
I feel like he will. Now, let me give you some context, because I feel like my notes is kind of contradicting. If Abe Lucas can, he can't. It's no way possible. You got a rookie going up against T.J. Watt. If you can somehow keep T.J. Watt from Sam Darnold, I think Jackson Smith and Jigba will have the better game. But I think DK Metcalf will have a good game because he don't have to see Devin Witherspoon today. So now my notes ain't contradict.
Okay. You got a legit defense in Seattle. They might contain him, especially with him not having a number two that's really legit. Last week you saw Pittsburgh do a lot of dinking and dunking. They had Freiermuth involved. They had Jonnu Smith involved. They had Calvin Austin involved. They were actually spreading the ball around as far as who they would get the ball to. So I think DK might not be the focal point of this game. He might get a few plays, but I don't think that he's going to make a huge impact in it. What I do like on this is Aaron Rodgers over 21.5 completions. He's hit that in 13 of his last 16 games. And against this defense, he's going to have to do a lot of dinking and dunking. So I think he gets the completions there.
I'm halfway with you on DK. I just know how Aaron Rodgers felt last week going against the Jets. He even said it. I wanted to play well. When a team don't want you no more and you play them again, you want to go out there and kick their ass.
You do.
I think Aaron Rodgers understands that sentiment, and he's going to try to get DK Metcalf. I at least think DK Metcalf will get – he at least going to try to get him a touchdown. I can see him having at least 5 catches and 50 yards. If you want to go crazy, add a touchdown to it.
I'd keep an eye on Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith receptions if you're going to play a prop.
Also, too, I think Jaylen Warren could have a good rushing and receiving game this game, too. I think we forget about Jaylen Warren, man. Jaylen Warren is a good – he's not great. He's not Hall of Fame, but he is a good running back, and he can catch the ball out the backfield, too. We got to keep an eye on it.
If the Steelers get up early, you can go ahead and look forward to Jaylen Warren, Kenneth Gainwell grind. Mm-hmm. They're going to rotate them backs, and they're going to start running the ball if the run game can go.
I know a lot of people, they don't like hearing that because, you know, a lot of people pick Caleb Johnson on a fantasy team. It's just not his time yet. I mean, he got 2 good running backs ahead of him.
You
got
to be careful picking rookie running backs on your fantasy team. If you're not a high-round draft pick or you didn't get a whole lot of volume during preseason, 9 times out of 10, you are going to be a non-factor throughout the season unless you're getting them to stash them for late.
Yeah, that's true, man. I'm going to give you a couple of things on this. I'm going to let you have this one. We got the Rams versus the Titans. The Titans are missing key players on the offensive line and defensive line. And J.C. Latham is out. DeVondre Sweat is out. The Rams, they offensive line is banged up. their offensive line is banged up. They have 3 injured linemen as well. The floor is yours, sir. You got it.
Hey, I told you I had a little tidbit for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I had, and it surprised me when I found this stat. In week 1, Ward completed just 1 of his 12 downfield attempts for an 8.3% completion percentage. He fared better targeting receivers under 10 air yards, where he completed 11 of his 13 attempts for 84.6% for 96 yards, while averaging 7.4 yards attempts. You're not going to see a lot of downfield throws, especially with Latham out. So look for the first read, which would be Calvin Ridley. Right now, I think his reception line is over 4.5. So you might play that. He's going to do a lot of dinking and dunking. He's not going to have a whole lot of time.
Calvin really got to catch the ball.
He does, and he knows that. He took a lot of blame for last week, and he accepted that, and he wants to do better. And you got to realize that was Cam Ward's first real action against all starters. And a team trying to win a game rather than see what they got.
Yeah. And he didn't look bad.
He didn't. I mean, he's a rookie.
Bad. Yeah.
He's a rookie. Rams defense They still look good. They're going to get that pass rush. Jared Verse is going to get back there and get some pressure. I think my Titans are in trouble today. I'm taking the Rams minus 5.5.
Yeah, I got Puka having. So I put a small lotto play in. I had Jamar Chase, I had CeeDee Lamb, and I had Puka Nacua all up going over 100 yards receiving today.
It's possible. I can see that happening.
Let's see. Where am I at? Okay, the next game is the Browns versus the Ravens. This game has got a lot of attention this week. It's been a lot of chirping from the Browns, of course. It's been a lot of chirping about, you know, pretty much saying that Derrick Henry is easy to tackle. They're not worried about the Ravens secondary. You know, the Ravens don't have any talent in wide receiver, all this kind of stuff. So now the game got to be played. I think they are the biggest over-under. I think there's a spread. I mean, is it 11? I think it got up to 11.5.
It was 12.5 on Monday. It is currently 11.5.
Yeah. So you going into Baltimore. You got a motivated Derrick Henry who didn't say nothing. He just said, we'll see today. So we going to see. Of course, you still got Lamar, Zay Flowers, and the whole crew. They all coming. Jerry Jeudy, Denzel Ward, you got to go out here. You got to back up this shit that you done said now. So good luck to you. We going to see.
If I could choose to not be anybody in America this week, well, today, if I could choose to be anybody, not to be anybody in America today, it'd be Grant Delpit. You Absolutely. Gave this man some poster material, and he is known to put people on posters. Every camera in that stadium will be on you today, and if you get posterized,
it's over for you. That's yeah. Be,
look for the stiff arm.
Now, and I promise you, they're going to run at least 2 or 3 plays his way on purpose.
They will. Yeah. Harbaugh is that type of coach.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all Mitch Match City, man. The Browns are walking into Baltimore with a leaky offense, and the Ravens are looking like bullies out the gate.
Yep.
Derrick Henry's back in beast mode. Zay Flowers is emerging as a star. Browns offense is cooked. Turnovers, stall drives, no rhythm. They're not built to play from behind.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Baltimore defense at home is a different kind of animal. Expect pressure, sacks. It's going to be a lot of short fields. I'm taking the Ravens minus 11.5. But there's another bet that I like that I put in early in the week. Both of these bets I sent out early in the week. Lamar Jackson over 1.5 touchdowns passing.
Oh, yeah. That may be the easiest one we put on here.
Yep. In the last, he's cleared that line in 9 straight and averaging 2.4 touchdowns per game in that run. And you going up against Cleveland right now.
Yep, I'm with you on that. I also feel like, you know, the Ravens are going to feast because last week you had a mobile quarterback that could move. You ain't got that this week. I think they're going to be on Joe Flacco ass every chance they get. Pause. I'm sorry, but I don't know if Joe Flacco may not make it out this game. Another thing about this game that I want to watch that I don't think I would bet on neither 3 of these people, but you got to watch for the carries for Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, and Quinshon Judkins. Presently constructed, I think Dylan Sampson should get the workload because I feel like between him and Jerome Ford both being healthy and able to go the whole game, I feel like he just got the – he looked better last week, should I say. If Joe Flacco can get some protection – and Joku could have a good day today. If not, I wouldn't play it. That's an if. All capital letters. I'm trying to give him some hope, but I ain't got much hope for him.
And Joku might be the best target option this week for the simple fact of the pressure. When you're getting a lot of pressure, that tight end is usually the one there, so he might get a lot of targets.
Absolutely. Also, just some shit I seen before I came in. Shadur said the Ravens was going to. Did you see this morning?
Mm-mm.
So the Ravens was going to draft Shadur Sanders. And they were going to groom him behind Lamar Jackson. Shadur told them he did not want to come there. He wanted to go somewhere that he had a chance to start. And I believe the Browns drafted him with their next pick. Something I seen this morning. They had a conversation about it on Sunday Countdown on ESPN. Nothing major. No big news. Just something to throw out there. Just a little thought piece.
Sometimes you have to go where you want it.
That's why I threw it out there. That what you said right there was a mouthful. Absolutely. The next game, we got the Colts. Well, we got Denver going to Indy. They playing the Colts. This could get rough for Indy. They're missing two corners today. They're missing Charvarius Ward and they're missing Jalen Jones. I will say this. This Denver defense is tough, but I'm still going to play Jonathan Taylor. I don't think Daniel Jones plays as well as he did last week. If he does, then we're looking at a whole new reinvented Daniel Jones. Like, he may have a Baker Mayfield kind of revival season, maybe. I think Denver going to rush him. I don't think they're going to let Jonathan Taylor do too much. This is a chance with the Colts corners being back. Bo Nix can look better than he did last week because he didn't look too good against the Titans last week. Matter of fact, he really didn't look good at all, just to be honest. But let's not get it confused because Denver do got some hunting dogs on the other side. They do got Zaire Franklin. They got some players on Indy, man. We don't give Indy enough. They got some receivers, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, Mo Alley Cox, Jonathan Taylor. Tyler Warren is an absolute killer. Played him last week. He could have a good game today. I want to see if Sean Payton can get Evan Ingram more involved today. But I still think Denver going to win this game.
I can see that. You already mentioned Ward and Jones being out. The edge rusher, Latu, he's out also. Tyler Goodson, he's banged up. So, like you said, Jonathan Taylor, he's going to have to carry the load this week. With Denver, Evan Ingram, he's back fully. We'll see how he plays. Dre Greenlaw is out. Now, something that happened last week that I'm so happy that it happened. A former Giant looked like he was an all-star player.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, man.
He did.
That is what the Giants thought they drafted in Daniel Jones. I don't know why it did not work out for him in New York, other than ownership, management, whatever you want to call it. Well, he looked good last week, but he's going to be pedestrian this week. You got Surtain, he's going to take away that first option. Surtain is a shutdown corner. So whoever he is on, you can go ahead and cancel that out. Like you said, he's gonna be a dink and dunk or a vertical threat option, possibly. I did not send out any bets on this one. I'm kind of staying away from it. I think it might be a mediocre scoring game. It's not gonna be a high scoring game like most people expected. But if I had to lean to a side, it would be the Broncos -1.5.
If you want to go crazy, play Denver for a defensive touchdown.
Hey, you know what? Every time you say that.
Hey, last week, I said something to my friends. They asked me for a bet. I said, play the Bears for a defensive touchdown. They're playing against a quarterback who ain't never played. And he may get a little rushed, and he may be a little careless. And the Bears score a touchdown.
Denver.
Y'all got to look for little things, man. I think if they rush Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones is going to have to prove it to me. He does look better. One thing I give Daniel Jones, his defense, this is probably the best offensive line he's ever played behind. I will give him that. But if they can get to Daniel Jones, he will make a Will Levis type mistake, and he may throw one of those bullshit balls and they can return it. Hey, just something to play, just something to keep your eyes on. But yeah, I like the Broncos too. Winding on down, the next game, we got the Carolina Panthers and the Cardinals. The Carolina Panthers run defense is awful. They couldn't run for office. They just, me and you could run for 50 yards on this defense, I think. It's just bad. A lot of people are big on James Conner today. Hell, I even seen a few people, they got Trey Benson for 50 yards rushing today, which he may get it. I like Kyler Murray in this game. Play Trey McBride. Play Marvin Harrison Jr. Play Kyler Murray. On the other side, I'm not that high on the Cardinals either. I think you fine playing Chuba Hubbard. I think you fine playing Tet McMillan. Tet looked good last week, too. Cardinals should win, but the Panthers are scrappy, man. You never know what you're going to get from them.
I hate to skip back to the other game before I say my piece on this one. But I just went ahead and put in that defensive touchdown for Denver. Right now, DraftKings has the best odds at plus 650.
I'll be it. I look like a genius.
I hope you do, too. If I didn't think you were right, I wouldn't have put it in. man, the Cardinals didn't look great last week against the Saints, which I expected them to come in and kind of run up on the Saints, but the Saints held in there even with their struggles. Carolina struggling, like you said. This might turn out to be a boring game.
It may, but I'm hoping like it's a shootout or something. Just you always hope for that one game that you think gonna suck, and it just end up being a shootout. Last week it was the Jets and the Steelers. We thought that was gonna be like 19-16. And it ended up being probably the second best game last week, honestly, behind the Ravens and the Bills.
Man, I think I'm going to take the Panthers plus 6.5, and I'm going to go under 44.5.
I'm with you. You're not wrong. I'm all hope on that one. I am all hope on that one. Next game. We ain't really got to say much about this game, man. It's the Super Bowl rematch. Both teams, Dallas Goedert, he's out, starting tight end. Xavier Worthy, I guess it wasn't as bad as they thought, but he's not playing. Of course, Rashee Rice still suspended. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. Y'all know that. I'm not finna tell you I'm going against the Eagles either. I hope they win the game. I actually think they are going to win the game. I don't think the Chiefs can afford to lose this game. That's my angle that I'm going. The Chiefs have never lost three straight games with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. If they lose this game, this will be the first time because they lost last week. They won the Super Bowl. And then, of course, this will be the third game. I think the biggest problem with the Chiefs now, after the Super Bowl and after last week, I don't think their defense is as intimidating as it was like earlier part of last year and the year before. I think people understand that Patrick Mahomes is great, but I think they also understand no one else around him is great. I also think they understand that Juwan Taylor is the leak in this offense because he leads the league in penalties by a wide margin. I just feel like they don't think that the Chiefs are invincible anymore. They feel like they're right for the taking. I think this is a must win for the Chiefs. But in saying that, I want to see if Jalen Hurts can get this passing game going today. I don't know, man. I'm going for the Eagles. I'm going to say that. That's what I am going to say. And we get Jalen Carter back.
You know, yeah, I know you're an Eagles fan, and I always give you shit, but I always talk to you when the good things are going on with the team, too. Because I can appreciate you as an Eagles fan for the fact that you keep it real about your team. Anytime there's questions or concerns, you do address it. And you keep it real as far as an outside perspective. So I can appreciate that. With that being said, you got the Super Bowl champs going against the Chiefs. Chiefs are they're not looking great right now. You got Worthy out. You still got Rashee Rice suspended. Hollywood Brown, he got a bunch of targets last week once Worthy went out. So you might look at him to get targets. Howie Roseman, man, I don't like dude no more. He robbing everybody in the league. He takes a lot of chances on players that didn't quite pan out, that had some pretty medium to high expectations on other teams. He brings them in, and they start to look like people that they should have looked like for the teams that they got drafted for. You're going to eventually have Jahan Dotson come into his own. Mechie might come into his own, which gives them two more options other than Dante Smith, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert. So you're going to have people to spread the ball around to. In this game, I think the Eagles are going to cover the 1.5. I don't see that being a problem. I think A.J. Brown gets targets this week because I don't think he has had more than two games where he had less than three receptions, maybe once or twice in the past 15, 20 games.
Yeah.
He's going to get some targets.
Yeah, I'm with you. He got to. He has to. I think they, once again, how they played him in the Super Bowl. I think Saquon has a better game because I feel like the way they tried to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl, they played so Saquon couldn't beat them. Okay, that's fine. Jalen Hurts beat you. So now you got to figure out, and I think teams eventually, they're going to start to realize this. They've been playing the Eagles like Jalen Hurts is the liability. So now you got to start playing Jalen Hurts like he's not the liability because now he's the reason why they're winning some of these games. So now what do you do?
Also, with the Eagles news this week, A.J. Brown said no more books on the sideline. He is not doing any more free advertisement.
Yeah, I seen that. It's going to be interesting, man. It's really going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a close game. I will say this. If the Eagles somehow come out here today and they beat them how they beat them in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs going to have to – they're going to have to do some self-reflecting. They're going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror because then a lot of people are going to be like, well – they run is over.
Oh, the run is over.
Feel that way now. Yeah.
The run is over. I ain't going to say people have figured them out, but people have figured out ways to be more competitive against them. So it's going to be a tough run for them.
Honestly, before we move on, I think they figured it out last year. They just couldn't finish it. Had a lot of one position games last year, and they somehow squeaked all of them out. And I think they figured them out last year because if you remember, the Broncos had them beat. The Chiefs blocked the field goal. They just so happened to win the game. I think they figured it out last year, and now it's just starting to get implemented. And then, too, another reason that you can tell, the same thing with the Dolphins and their internal shit. Last week, Chris Jones tried to rush the quarterback instead of covering the edge, and Justin Herbert went around and ran that 20-some yard run to end the game. After that play, you seen two leaders on the team arguing, bickering back and forth, and they had to be separated. Chris Jones, I think it was Drew Tranquil, I believe. So now you got that going on, and I'm not saying they dislike each other and somebody got to get traded. Definitely not saying that, but once you start seeing things like that, frustration creeps in. So we'll see.
You want me to tell you what the formula is to beating the Chiefs? I know the formula. And if you look back at the past few games, you'll see it too. There have been less questionable calls by the referees in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm with that. I think we all with that. But what we got? Three more games left. Okay, the Sunday night game. I'm hoping for this one to be a shootout. Good Lord. The Atlanta Falcons versus the Minnesota Vikings. This was news to me. Young Waiku did not travel with the team. He is not injured.
Healthy scratch.
Parker Romo will be the kicker today. Good news for the Falcons. They'll have Drake London. They'll have Darnell Mooney today. That's good. We'll see how Kyle Pitts look today. Look like Kyle Pitts may actually be worth a damn this season. One thing that I wrote in my notes that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about, Jordan Mason looks better than Aaron Jones right now. I know it's been one week. I ain't over-exaggerating. I'm just saying, when you give somebody the ball, they look a little better. That's all I'm saying. Jordan Mason had a good game last week. If they would have gave him the ball more, he would have had a great game last week. But Aaron Jones did catch that touchdown pass. So we'll see how that looks this week. Justin Jefferson has over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns every game he's played against the Falcons. Both with 2 different quarterbacks. Today will be the 3rd different quarterback. So we'll see if that streak will continue. Bijan Robinson playing. Drake London playing. Jefferson, Hawkinson, Jordan Mason, Aaron Jones. Play everybody. I think it's going to be high scoring.
I think you might be right on that one. As far as high scoring, you got Michael Penix. He's showing promise, but he's also showing limitations. Maybe as the year goes on, if he gets the protection that he needs, or he starts to call his protections a little bit better, then he might start to look better. But he didn't look bad. You got the Vikings with this momentum going on with that fourth quarter comeback. If you watched this game last week, Justin Jefferson was pretty much a non-factor the first half. Everybody had counted the Vikings out. Yeah, Jordan Mason looked good. But Justin Jefferson was on the sideline with his quarterback, keeping him encouraged. And then, boom, here we go. We had a motherfucking game.
You know what I will say about Justin Jefferson? He know he's one of the top 2, 3, hell, and some people, he the best receiver in the game. No matter good or bad, you never see this dude berating his QB or giving any kind of doing anything crazy to try to show up his quarterback. I seen him do this with Kirk Cousins. I seen him do this with Josh Dobbs. And then last week, we seen him do this with J.J. McCarthy. He simply just go over there and be like, hey, man, we good. Don't worry about it. You'll give me next play. That goes a long way, first of all, in the locker room. And it goes a long way with helping your quarterback get settled. Because if you remember and you watched this game, J.J. McCarthy, after he threw that pick six, I believe it was the next possession, he came back and he threw a slant to Jefferson going out of bounds from the other side of the field. And after that, J.J. McCarthy was kind of unstoppable for the rest of the game.
Man, this team loves Kevin O'Connell. They talk highly of their coach. And you'll have superstar players that won't even mention their coach's name in conversations, but they make sure they bring up his name when people ask what's going good. And they talk amongst each other as far as communication with the team. So you might look out for the Vikings to make a strong run this year with that type of attitude, as long as everybody stays healthy. Jordan Mason, yeah, he got the bulk of carries last week. And I lost several bets because I had Aaron Jones having a good game. It is what it is. I think this backfield is going to be we ride the hot hand this week. I think that's how it's going to be from here on out. So, I mean, it's iffy betting either one of those props because whoever's hot is going to get the ball. They're going to keep both of them involved. I would look for T.J. Hockenson to have a pretty good game. As far as picks on this game, I'm still leaning Falcons plus 3.5.
I like that. I liked it. One thing about and another thing about this Minnesota team, they're not even all the way 100% because they still got Jordan Addison who's coming back in 2 games.
Yeah.
So if J.J. McCarthy continues to get better, look out.
Minnesota's a team to watch.
They are a team to watch. All right, now for one of our last two, we got the Bucks and the Texans. The Texans got a laundry list of injuries. Christian Kirk is out. Brexton Berrios is out. He got offensive linemen out. Tank Dell is still out. I got in my notes Texans should try to trade to get Tyreek Hill. That's what I was talking about earlier. I just feel like people just cheat the safety over to Nico. They not worried about nobody else. They don't care about nobody else. Joe Mixon is still out. We don't know if he even going to play this season. Nick Chubb looked okay. C.J. Stroud still getting pressure. It's just this Texans team, man, they got to get healthy. They got to get C.J. Stroud somebody else other than Nico that's a reliable, dependable target to where the defense actually has to respect him and pay attention to him. As far as the Bucs goes, I think Bucky Irving had an underwhelming start to the season. I don't think he played as much as we thought he would play. I seen that his usage was down more than we thought it would be last week. Emeka Egbuka looks like he could be poised to be the guy when they usher out Mike Evans, that they could be ushering him in to be the guy. The Bucs look good. Baker Mayfield threw that pass to Emeka Egbuka. That's a perfect pass is what it was. The Bucs are tough. I think the Bucs are going to win this game. I think they're going to cover. I don't think the Texans can keep up with them unless they on Baker Mayfield ass the whole game and they force him into making some turnovers.
And with Houston, you got the home crowd plus primetime bounce back opportunity. Defense showed signs versus the Rams. They kept it tight. They kept it low scoring. C.J. Stroud, he's capable of big plays and late game comebacks. And then with Tampa Bay, you got the momentum from the opener win. And most people, if they pick Egbuka on their fantasy team, it was a mid to late round pick, and that was an absolute steal. Especially if you have a keeper league, because you're not going to lose on a high pick keeping him for next year. He looked like the real deal last week.
He damn sure did.
I didn't expect him to come in and play like that, but he did. Buccaneers, they got more experience in tight late game situations. Houston's offense stalls. They low on wide receiver help. Like you said, Nico needs some help. I'm taking Buccaneers plus 2.5.
Yeah, me as well. Last game, man. A lot of people on the West Coast. No, not the West Coast. Excuse me, the East Coast. They pissed off about this game starting so late. Started 10 o'clock p.m. for them. We got the Chargers going against the Raiders. Got some good news for the Raiders. Brock Bowers, he is playing. Thank God. If I could give the Raiders some advice, you drafted Ashton Jeffy, I think, with the 4th pick. It'd be nice if you could give him the ball. I know you won. I know Geno had the 2nd most passing yards last week. Not just for fantasy purposes, but to not get Geno hurt, if you could, like, give him the ball a little bit more. But this goes in line with what we try to tell people about Ashton Jenkins and drafting him in fantasy. So early, like, this is going to be a process. He's not going to come out and get 25 carries for 150 yards and a touchdown every week. We did say that. It'll be interesting to see how the Raiders do against this Chargers defense. I think we have to come to the realization now, just as Jim Harbaugh did. You know, Jim Harbaugh loved running the ball. Najee Harris, he's a four go. Hampton is a four go. The Chargers actually have weapons at wide receiver now. Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston. Quentin Johnston was a first round pick. I think the Chargers may be poised. I'm not going to say they're going to win the division, but I think that they can be poised to overtake Kansas City for this division. I will say that. I got the Chargers in this one.
For Jim Harbaugh to be a former quarterback, you would think that the strength of any team that he has would be the offense. But the strength of Jim Harbaugh's teams are always the defense, and it's been that way, especially with the Chargers and when he was with Michigan. Right now, their defense is banged up. You got Denzel Perryman out. You got Elijah Molden nursing a hamstring. You got Steele. He got a calf injury. Deshaun Phillips got a toe injury. So their defense is going to be limited, and they're going to have to rely on the offense. And lucky for them, the offense looked good last week, or at least has potential to look better. Hampton's going to get the ball. They're going to mix Najee Harris in. You got people to throw the ball to, all the way from Will Disley, Quentin Johnson, Keenan Allen, and Ladd McConkey. As far as the Raiders go, Geno looks like he could be a decent quarterback to get them through this period of transition, because he doesn't have a lot of time left. And like you said, they need to get Ashton Jeanty the ball. That being said, I'm still taking the Chargers, -3.5.
Yep, me too. Me too. Well, another show, another day. Sarah, Sarah. We got another.
I sent this to Mike last night after the games were done. But pay attention to our college football show. I get those picks out early in the week, so I get the research started on pretty much on Sunday or Monday. That way I can get picks out before the line change. With actually that is not the new one. Hold our college football show. The picks that we have covered, or should I say the ones that I've personally covered this season, are 17-5. That is 10.8 units that we are up. So if you are $10 better, you are up $108 on those college football picks alone. That is a 43% return on investment.
Yep, that's what you sent me.
Pay attention to the college show. We'll try to get one this week if I'm on call for a guy this week, so I might have to go out of town for work. If I don't, we'll have a show. If I do have to go out of work for work, I'm going to send the picks out to everybody. It'll be on Push the Lines page. It'll be on my page. We're going to get you the picks.
Yeah, we'll make sure you get them. I share it to my page. If you need any advice or you need anything, you know how to hit us. Got the link tree. You know where we at, man. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. What we got? We got 20 minutes till the game starts.
Hey, order you some wings right now.
Some chicks.
Hey, I had the Cajun ranch. They don't get me wrong, they good, but for some reason I like them better the second day. I saved me three of them for the next day to reheat. And I like them reheated.
Yeah, gotta let the flavor get in there.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Well, man, I appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. Y'all be safe. I think it's important for me to say y'all be safe. A lot of things are going on in the world these days. We're not going to get into them, but I will say just be safe. Be a better person. Love each other. Love on each other, regardless of your beliefs or your differences. And we'll see y'all this week, next week. Yeah.
Like he said, protect yourself and be aware of your surroundings. It's a crazy world out here, and we got sports to bring us together, no matter what your thoughts are. So we love y'all. Appreciate y'all. See y'all next week.
Got your bankroll rising like that early morning sun. From parlays to